truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final episode of Truth Be Told for 2019. And boy, do I have a knockout of a guest for you all today. You might know him from Dana White's Contender Series. Let me welcome Alon Cruz. Alon, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for coming on, man. So whenever you're ready to get into it, man, let's go ahead and jump in.
Let's do it.
All right, so first things first, you know, where did you grow up and how did you get introduced into the fighting world?
Yeah, so I was born down in Manatee County in Parrish, Florida. It's like a small 1 mile town, you know, a 2-lane road and just a bunch of farms and whatnot. And I was going to school up in Tampa from first grade all the way up until, you know, I moved up here when I was 11 because, you know, in middle school, you couldn't be on special assignment anymore. So once I moved up here, you know, I went to Wilson and then I went to Plant. And I was playing baseball pretty much my entire life. And I tried out for the baseball team at Plant and I didn't make it on because I had gotten into other things. I was trying to skateboard and I wasn't taking practices seriously and I was skipping practice. And I remember I thought I'd just walk on the team because, you know, I was really good at baseball. And I was like, man, I was like, you know, I'll just go and I'll just, you know, show them how good I am at, you know, playing the game.
Right, the talent's there.
Exactly. And the first thing we did was pole sprints. It had nothing to do with baseball. It just sprinting. And I was so out of shape as far as like running and whatnot. So we did pole sprints. And I remember I think I puked that day and then I got cut that first round. So I never even got to throw a ball and show them like that I'm good, you know. So one of my friends, you know, he told me, hey, like, you know, do you want to, you know, join the wrestling team? And he was thinking about it, and I was like, what? I was like, you know, when they wear, like, the tights and stuff and wrestle with each other? And he was like, no, I was like, it's cool, man. I was like, all right. You know, since I didn't make a baseball team, so I did that. And I fell in love with wrestling. And in between summers in school, we didn't have a summer wrestling league or any kind of club to do. So I told my mom, like, can you enroll me in a martial arts gym? And at the time, I had a friend who was already a professional fighter, and he was, like, 17. And he basically, like, we used to, like, look up to him, you know, fighting-wise. And I was like, make sure it's an MMA gym. So I found a gym, and I fell in love with it, and I kept doing it. You know, after wrestling practice, I would go straight to my, you know, martial arts gym and train there. And then I would just do, you know, I just fell in love with it and didn't stop. And then, you know, took my first amateur fight at 20, and then I was really addicted to fighting after that.
Were there any fighters that you, you know, looked up to or kind of modeled yourself after a little bit?
Anderson Silva, for sure. Anderson Silva and Jose Aldo. Those were my two favorite fighters. Yeah, favorite fighters of all time. Obviously, Anderson, you know, he was in the Matrix for a while. And so I use a lot of front kicks like he uses. And, you know, he's good with the flying knees, obviously. Jose Aldo is just, you know, back in the WEC days, he was just a pit bull, you know.
Hard, he's got heart. Kicks.
Yeah, he's got heart. He's just a scary guy. Like, he was the guy that, like, you know, you didn't want to get matched up with him because you knew you were going to get hurt. Like, you know how, like, if you ever watch him fight, how when they're announcing him, he just kind of, like, you know, shuffles like side to side and like he doesn't even look up, he just looks at the ground.
He's still focused. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to do that like until maybe after my fourth pro fight, I stopped doing it. But I used to do that modeled after him just because I kinda wanted to be like him.
What's tough about being an up and coming fighter?
Just the grind, I guess, of, you know, financially. I mean, even now, it's not like, you know, I'm balling out, you know, driving in a super nice car and, you know, able to buy whatever I need. I still have to, you know, live frugally, you know, until, you know, I become successful and, you know, I'm able to make more money doing, you know, fighting or whatever business I'm going to invest in the future. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is just being broke. That's probably the biggest thing about an upcoming fighter is you're always broke and you're not fighting for a lot of money. Really, you're just fighting for the record. That's why I always tell people, like, I'm not making any money right now. I'm like, I'm just fighting for a good record so that I can get to the UFC and actually start making some money.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I think people like assume like, oh, he's been on TV, so he's rich now. It's like, no, yeah. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way.
So what does your training regimen look like? What's an average day for you at the gym?
Average day for me at the gym, I get about 3 or 4 sessions in a day. Like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I do my own thing in the morning, and then because I meet my team later at night, and then I'll do 2 sessions in the morning. So I'll do one thing, I'll go work out at the gym on my own, and then from there I'll drive to Gracie St. Pete with my friend Gabriel Maldonado. He's a black belt, and I'll do his classes over there for jiu-jitsu. And then later that night, I'll go lift with my strength coach, Frederick Sadler. And then right after lifting, I'll go straight to Team Def War with my head coach and my main team, and I'll do striking over there. So I'm usually getting about 3 to 4 sessions a day. That's pretty much my daily routine. I train every day except for Sunday. So 6 days a week, about 3 or 4 sessions.
So that means you slackers out there need to step your game up.
Oh, yeah. If you're only training 2 times a day. I mean, I guess, like, I mean, I don't have – so the thing is, like, we don't have a gym of our own. So whenever I am doing things, I'm cross-training. So I'm having to drive from, you know, gym to gym or, you know, place to place. Whereas most people, you know, they may train 2 times a day, but they're getting in multiple sessions, you know, in the morning, at night, at their gym, at their same gym, because they usually have everything under the same roof, which that works out better too. I mean, I wish we had a gym, but we don't.
When was the moment that you realized you were skilled enough to compete at the highest level?
I mean, it's kind of a 50-50 thing. So like, even now, sometimes I get like imposter syndrome, which I was talking about this the other day with my girlfriend. Like, I feel like I snuck my way into the UFC. Like, I shouldn't even really be here, you know, and like, you're going to get exposed later on. But then, you know, obviously coming up in the ranks or seeing some guys fight, I'm like, I definitely should be there. Like, I'm definitely better than, you know, a lot of these guys fighting. So it's kind of just, you know, it depends on, I guess, how I'm feeling that day. It's kind of hit and miss. But obviously, when it comes to fight time and I've got my opponent, or, you know, I'm getting ready for a fight, I definitely know that I'm better than my opponent. You have to know and believe in yourself at that point.
I was going to say, I think you have to go in there thinking that too, or you're in the wrong business.
Exactly.
Have you sustained any major injuries in your career so far? And if not, how do you think you've avoided that?
I wouldn't say major. I mean, I guess the biggest injury really was after the Contender Series fight. I was injured, and that's why I didn't get to fight this year. I wanted to fight in December or even earlier, but I actually partially tore a ligament in my thumb, and I strained 2 other ones in my thumb. So I was out for, like, man, almost 2 months. I was just doing PT, or physical therapy, for, like, 8 weeks straight, just trying to get better. And even now, it's still not 100%, but it's, you know, definitely good enough to fight and good enough to train. But for the most part, other than that, which that was just, you know, it was a tough fight. And, you know, obviously 3 rounds of striking, something's going to happen. I train year round. I don't really have camps. Like, I don't take time off and, you know, get fat or do anything like that. I'm always training. I'm always in the gym doing something. So I think that's how you avoid getting in, like, major injuries. Yeah, you have little dings and, you know, you're kind of sore, or, you know, things crack and whatnot, but you don't get, like, I've never torn, like, my ACL or, you know, blow out my shoulder or something like that.
Well, that's why you deserve to be where you are, though, which you said, you don't take any days off, you know?
Yes, sir.
And speaking of the Contender Series, how did that opportunity come about?
So I signed with my agent, Daniel Rubenstein, at Ruby Sports Entertainment right after my previous fight. To the Contender Series fight, I won that fight, and I fought this guy, and he was like the number one ranked fighter in Georgia, and then my friend at Ebor, he put in a good word for me because he's friends with him, and he was like, yeah, he's like, Jack Swagger or Jake Yeager. He actually trains at our gym, and we have the same manager. So,
oh, wow.
He put in a good word for me, and he was like, hey, he's like, you know, this kid's good. Like, he needs to go to the UFC. He's been training forever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then so we talked over the phone. I signed up with him, and then basically he was like, I'm going to try and get you on the Contender Series in July. He's like, I don't know if we're going to be able to get you in there, but in the meantime, we were looking for another fight, because if I put another win under my belt, it would give me a better, you know, chance to get on the show. And so we had tried to get like three different fights, and they all fell through, you know, for one reason or another. And then he actually just messaged me the date for the Contender Series and then Stephen Wynn's Tapology page. And that was it. He was like, you know, July 30th, Stephen Wynn. And I was like, sweet. So I was super stoked. And that's basically how we got that fight. You know, thanks to my agent.
What was it like meeting Dana White, and what is a common misconception about him?
Man, it was super cool to meet him, because, like, the thing is with most fighters in the UFC, if you think about it, they don't even get to meet Dana, you know, when they get signed or even shortly after that. Like, I remember I was listening to my friend Curtis Blades. He was talking about he didn't even meet Dana White for the first time until he beat Alistair Overeem. Which is crazy, because he already had like a ton of fights.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time before you meet your boss. And the Contender Series, we had the luxury and opportunity to meet our boss the night of the fight, the night that we get signed. And, you know, like I said, he was really down to earth. He was really cool. He doesn't act like, you know, he's better than anybody. He didn't seem like he was staying on a pedestal or anything like that. He just seems like a really cool down-to-earth guy. He was stoked. You can generally tell that he loves fighting. Like, he just loved to watch these fights. And I think that was the biggest thing that I really got from him, was that he just enjoyed watching fights.
But that's got to be cool, having a boss that is passionate about what they do, with, you know, with how it is these days with people just buying in and not being passionate about the business they're in.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know anything about the WME, IMG guys, but, like, you know, obviously they saw the UFC is making money and they wanted to buy it and, you know, see if they can turn it and make more money off of it. But as far as, like I said, Dana, I know he's a big fight fan, and pretty sure Sean Shelby as well, and Mick Maynard. Like, I mean, they have a dream job, right? They get to make matchups with great fights with great fighters and watch them unfold and make money off of them.
I'll take it. So we got to talk about this devastating knee of yours. Now, is that a move that, you know, you practice, or was, you know, the opening there that night, or?
No, man, I practice that all the time. That's what people understand. It's like, you know, I've definitely had people, or not people say directly to me, but like indirectly, you know, that like, oh, he got lucky with that knee. You know, he was losing the fight, and if he hadn't thrown that knee, then he would have gotten it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, like, I practice flying knees all the time, like when we do shadow boxing, when I do mitts. Actually, my coach posted a video, and it's actually on my Instagram too. We were practicing the flying knee in the hotel room the day of the fight. We were doing our morning shakeout, and that's exactly what we were practicing, was a flying knee. Like, it went, and then in the back room before the actual fight, like 15 minutes before the fight, we were practicing flying knees on the tie pads. You know, it's not like it's something that I don't do. And it wasn't like that was the only knee I threw the whole fight either. I threw a flying knee in the second round, and it landed, but he just ate it. It didn't knock him out. He ate it to the chin and then kept fighting. And then the third round, you know, I guess just over time, you know, the wear and tear on, you know, taking the shots and whatnot, he just couldn't take enough. And then it was a hard knee, and it put him out.
I mean, that knee was something beautiful to watch, man. Like, I need to get a poster of that.
Yeah, me too. I need to get one.
How has the viral video, you know, helped on social media? Has that helped in any way with your career, would you say?
A little bit. So, like, before going on to the Contender Series, I think I had, like, I want to say, like, 1,300 followers on Instagram or whatever. And then after the knee, I went up to, like, I don't know, like 3,800 pretty quickly. I think I'm at like 4,400 now. But the thing is, like, I thought, you know, I was hoping I would get a lot more because I remember the UFC, they posted the video on their Instagram page and it had like 2.6 million people liking it. But the thing is, they don't put your tag, your Instagram tag in the post. They just say, oh, flying knee, you know, finishes the fight, but they don't put your Instagram on there. So like, I kind of
they can't find you.
Yeah, and they can't find me. And then I also got banned from Instagram for like 5 days because like right literally that night of the fight, because I tried to repost the UFC's video, which I thought you were allowed to repost things. Like I used the repost app and I reposted it and I was like, hopefully I'll get some of the, you know, traffic my way. But I got banned for 5 days on Instagram. So my Instagram was basically a ghost account for 5 days after the fight. So I pretty much missed out on a lot of the hype, but you know, I still have a lot of people that saw the fight, you know, a lot of people that, you know, remember the knee and whatnot. And, you know, I think after this fight too, I think people will remember and then maybe they'll be able to find me. And, you know, I think I'll get a lot more followers this fight.
So do you feel like these social media platforms are like beneficial for like MMA fighters in general, at least to like conjure up interest in their fights?
For sure. You know, I definitely got hit up with a few sponsors, you know, or sponsored opportunities after the fight. Cloudco CBD, they sponsored me right now. Like they were one of the first people that contacted me and they wanted to sponsor me. And I was like, wow, I was like, that's huge. Cause like, I mean, I rarely get sponsors, even coming up on the regional scene or as a pro, because for one, I just don't, whenever I'm in camp, I don't pay attention to a lot of things and I don't want to put energy into searching for sponsors. So if someone like comes to me and says they want to sponsor me, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll throw your name on my shorts and shout outs on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff like that, but I'm not going to go search for it, you know. But like having that happen and then a bunch of people saw my fight, then people hit me up and then they want to sponsor me, and then I don't have to go search for them, and then I'm more than happy to, you know, support their brand and join it if, you know, I agree with their brand or whatever they're using. But yeah, it makes it easier on me, gives me more opportunities to make money in different ways, you know, when I'm not fighting. Yeah, I mean, you definitely got to, and like you said, it helps build up the fight for, or build up the anticipation for the next fight. You know, I've got a lot of people that want to see me fight, especially when I made my fight announcement. You know, there's so many people on there just like, you know, commenting like, oh, they have it ready to go, like ready to see this fight. And I think everybody's already, they already know the story. Like, especially I'm sure what they're going to do, what they normally do with the Contender Series people is they usually play that the little preview video that they did in the Contender Series. They usually play that before your debut fight to kind of get everybody to refresh in their mind, you know, what your whole backstory is. So that it's kind of an advantage of being on the Contender Series also.
And speaking of your next fight, who's somebody that you would like to face?
I don't know. I mean, well, right now I'm fighting Steven Peterson, so I don't really have a person past him at the moment. I mean, like if we're talking like long-term goals, I'd love to fight Jose Aldo or Frankie Edgar. That would be a fun fight.
And those would be hell of a fight to watch.
Like those, you know, cause everybody wants to fight their idols, you know, like you want to fight your idol and beat them and then, you know, thank them for, you know, setting the way and, you know, just being a legend like they are and taking the mantle, I guess, from them.
10 years from now, what are people going to be saying about Alon Cruz?
10 years from now, he was a great fighter. He helped out his community. You know, every time he was on, you know, I guess talking to media or any fans and whatnot, you know, he was the nicest person, you know, that came in contact with. You know, I don't know. that's a tough, that's a loaded question.
No, that's a great A, man. The answer's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, Alon, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And, you know, usually at this time I like to have you plug anything else that's like upcoming for you or just a place where people can get a hold of you, like your social medias.
For sure. Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me on the show again. You know, I'm definitely down to do this again.
Anytime, anytime.
Yeah, so I'm fighting February 29th. It's a Saturday on ESPN Plus against Stephen Ocho Peterson. It'll be in Norfolk, Virginia. You know, hope everybody comes and or everybody watches it on ESPN Plus. If you have it, if you don't, you can get a free week. So just wait until that day and then or the day before and then get a subscription and cancel if you need to. Or drive, if you live near Virginia, drive over to Norfolk. And as far as like my, I have sponsors, my supporters. I want to thank my mom. I want to thank my girlfriend, Kieran. All my friends and family have supported me through all the years and hard work. My coaches, my head coach team, or Coach Daniel Hurtado. He's my head striking coach as well as my head coach in general. Mamu Goma is my wrestling coach. Joey Best at Ybor City Jiu-Jitsu Club is my jiu-jitsu coach, or one of them. Frederick Sadler with Black Lion Athletics, he's my strength conditioning coach. Gabriel Maldonado from Gracie St. Pete, he's also my jiu-jitsu coach and MMA coach. Adam Cantor at Grace Tampa South, he's my other wrestling coach. My teammates at Team Death War. My sponsors, Angry Elephant Tattoos, they help me with just in general, they help me out in a big way. And, you know, I can't even really talk about it too much, but they're always there with me. And they're going to be at the fight, too. You know, when I get my 4 free tickets, they're going to get 2 of them, and they're going to be there. So Gene Farmer and Beth Farmer. My agent, Daniel Rubenstein, you know, he helped get me the Contender Series fight. He gives me merchandise. He helps book my flights. You know, anything that I need, he hooks it up. Like when I go to Vegas, he, you know, puts me in contact with fighters and coaches while I'm out there. Dr. Doug Arvanitis at ProHealth, he's my chiropractor, and he allows me to use his massage therapist pretty much any day that I need to, all the time. Cloudco Farms CBD, that's my new CBD company. They send me CBD for my dogs, for me. Hemp lotion for myself as well. Taz CrossFit, Matt Zelansky. We actually have our wrestling mats rolled up at the CrossFit gym, and we roll them out every Thursday and wrestle on the mats, and they allow us to keep our mats there. So I thank them a lot. Tigers World Tampa, Anthony Gonzalez and Joe Valdez. Tigers World Tampa is one of our other gyms that we do striking at, because like I said, we don't have a gym of our own. So we use their facility, and they allow us to do our striking there. Ybor City Jiu-Jitsu Club is my jiu-jitsu gym. Gracie St. P is my other jiu-jitsu gym. Thorn and Trifecta through the UFC. Clint and Alexa, they work for Thorn and Trifecta. The Trifecta just started sending me meals, like for their meal plan, and they hook it up for free. So that's a huge expense off my back, as well as Thorn Research sends out free supplements. So, you know, I can't thank them enough. And then all my ninjas that train with me as well. And then I have a junior fan club, Shawnee, Finn, and Elliot. That's about it.
And then if you just want to plug your social media for people be able to get a hold of you.
So Alon Cruz, AlonCruz. On all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter.
And of course, I'm your host, James C. Turner Jr., and you can find me on Twitter at JPZellDay1990. Alon, again, man, thank you so much. I think you're a humble guy. You're a great fighter. You're sure as hell fun to watch, man. I can't wait for your next fight.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on again. Let's definitely do it again soon.
Absolutely, man. Everybody take care and tune in next week.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain. Young G1.